Om Shri Sai Ram. With pranams at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba, I welcome all of you to the valedictory session of the first Shri Sathya Sai International Veda Conference and Multifaith Symposium. Swami has told us the essence of Ashtadasha Purana as Paropakaraya Punyaya Papaya Parapidanam. He even went further and gave us the two Veda Vakyas, help ever, hurt never, love all and serve all. With this note, we would like to begin today's proceedings. The first speaker of the day is Sri Vedanarayanan Kollangod. The applause says it all. He is a lead Veda chanter and a faculty of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. Sri Vedanarayan is a Sanskrit teacher and former student from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in Vrindavan. In 1981, after securing the bachelor's degree in science from Swami's college, he completed his MA in philosophy from Bangalore University with a gold medal. Later, he did his MA in Sanskrit from Mysore University. In the year 2004, Sri Vedanarayan received the National Award for the Best Teacher from the President of India, Sri APJ Abdul Kalam. His association with Sri Sathya Sai Baba is for the past 47 years. For the last 38 years, he has been participating and leading the early morning Vedic invocations in the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram. He has been leading Veda chanting in Sai Kulwant Hall during the darshan time ever since Swami initiated this practice. He will be speaking on Swami's teachings on Swami's mission of Veda Poshana and Vidvat Poshana. I come to foster the Vedas and the Vedic scholars. Sri Vedanarayan Kollangod.
वेदानुद्धरते जगन्निवहते भूगोलमुद्विव्रते दैत्यान् दारयते हलं कलयते छत्रच्छयं कुर्वते पौलस्त्यं जयते हलं कलयते कारुण्यमातन्वते म्लेच्छान् मूर्च्छयते दशाकृति कृते साईशाय तुभ्यं नमः.
My most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of my mother Sai. Honorable dignitaries, respected elders, and dear sisters and brothers, Sai Ram to all of you. Welcome to the valedictory function of the first World Conference, International Conference on the Vedas. Bhagavan, we are indeed very, very grateful to you for having organized this conference, a unique one. We have all come together without any restriction of caste, color or creed, without any restriction of religion or region, without any restriction of young and old. In fact, without the restriction of any restriction, we have all come together, Bhagavan, joining our heart, hands and voice in unison to chant the divine names, the divine Vedas. In fact, the Vedas were only for a privileged class, and Bhagavan, out of your infinite mercy, you have opened this up for the entire humanity. Today, we have delegates, Spanish-speaking people, Italians, Chinese, French, Japanese, Russians, to name a few. We have the Balvikas, Tiny Tots, and on the other hand, we have the elders, Vedic scholars, and more than half of our delegates are the Mahilas who could have not dreamt in their life that they could ever chant Vedas in their life. This is possible only by your grace, Bhagavan. Sai Avatar has declared that his mission is of fourfold: Veda Poshana, Vidvat Poshana, Dharma Sthapana, and Bhakta Rakshana. Veda Poshana, nourishing of the Vedas. Vidvat Poshana, sustaining of the people who chant Vedas. Dharma Sthapana, to establish Dharma. And Bhakta Rakshana, protecting his devotees. Bhagavan, whatever you utter, it is a Veda Vakya. In a historic letter written to his elder brother as a young lad, Bhagavan has said, Sakala manavulakku anandamichi rakshinchude dikshamakum. It is my firm resolve to give joy and protection for the entire humanity. To have this as the end view, Bhagavan has asked each one of us to learn and practice Vedas in our daily life. In fact, what are Vedas? There is a popular misconception that Vedas are something religious and no one should follow this type of system. In fact, Bhagavan himself has openly declared that Vedas are universal in its nature and it is beyond the boundaries of any country. It belongs to all. In fact, whatever Bhagavan has taught us, it has its roots in the Vedas. Vedas, like a mother, it teaches us how to lead a righteous life. So, it belongs to everyone, not only for Indians. It belongs to all. Let us see the beautiful mantras which many of our scholars quoted here. Sangachadvam, Samvadadvam, Samvomanam Sijanatam. Let us move together. Samvadadvam, let us speak together. Samvo manam si janatam. Let us try to understand each other together. We have the other stanzas showing the unity. Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavidyam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu, mavidvishavahai. Sahanavavatu, let the Supreme Lord protect us both. Sahanau bhunaktu, let him nourish us both together. Sahaviryam karavavahai, together with full energy let us work together. Tejasvinavadhitamastu, let us both get enlightened together. It doesn't say that let me alone get enlightened. Ma vidvishavahai. Let us not hate each other. These are the universal messages given by the Vedas. Ano badraha kratavo sandhu vishvataha. Let noble thoughts come to me from all sides. And even the complex questions like where is God is beautifully answered in the Ishavasya Upanishad. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagad tenatyaktena bunjida maghritha kasya siddhanam. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Each and everything is pervaded by the Lord. Jagat sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Whatever little thing is left, everything is permeated by the Lord. Tena tyaktena bunjida. Whatever is discarded by Him alone. In other words, we have to supplicate ourselves to Him, surrender to Him, and we should enjoy the object what is given to us. Ma grithaha kasya siddhanam. Do not aspire for anyone's wealth. Bhagavan has taught us, it is in giving alone we find happiness and not hoarding. Bhagavan says, my life is my message. Throughout his life, he has led a life and shown to us that his life is that of giving, giving, giving and forgiving. He never asked even one pie from any one of us. He practiced the Vedic dictum that na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyagena ekena amrutattvamana chuhu. Not by action, not by progeny, not by wealth. It is only by supreme sacrifice alone one can attain immortality. Vedas also talk about the unity or the equality of all, especially regarding the men, women. Great importance are given in the Vedas. Yatra naryastu pujyante ramante tatra devatah. Yatraidastu na pujyante sarvatatra abhalaha kriyaha. Where the women are respected, even the gods are pleased there. Where they are disrespected, all the actions bear fruitless there. In the Taittiriya Upanishad it has been said, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atiti Devo Bhava. Matru Devo Bhava, consider your mother as God. Consider your father as God. Consider your teacher as God. And consider your guest as God. In our younger days, we have been taught that God is someone above the clouds. And we have told He will punish you for whatever actions you do. So, fear of God is something which ruled all of us. It is only Bhagavan who has taught us, you should not fear God. Instead, Daiva Preeti, Papa Bhiti, and Sangha Neeti. Daiva Preeti, you should have love for God. Papa Bhiti, you should have fear of sins. And Sangha Neeti, morality in society. In fact, once one of the Vedic scholars, he was chanting in front of Bhagavan, Papoham, papakarmaham, papatma, papasambhava, pahimam kripaya deva sharana gadavatsala. The meaning of it is, Papoham, Lord, I am a sinner. Papakarmaham, Lord, I always do the sinful action. Papatma, I am a sinful soul. Papasambhava, I am born out of the sin. Swami stopped him and said, stop it there. You are never, that is a very wrong statement. It is actually praptoham, praptakarmaham, praptatma, praptasambhava. You are a blessed one. Praptoham, I am the blessed one. I always do the blessed deed. Praptatma, I am the blessed soul. Prapta sambhava, I am born out of the greatest blessings. Jantunam narajanma durlabham, out of the 84th species, it is to get the human birth is so very, very difficult. How can you call yourself a sinner? Srinandu Vishwe Amritasya Putraha, O ye children of immortality, when the Vedas declare, how can you ever consider yourself as a sinner and a weakling? The same thing is quoted by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Chudram Hridaya Daurbalyam Tyaktva Uttishta Parantapa. O Arjuna, leave aside your weak heart, get up and stand. In Bhagavan's own words, follow the master, face the devil, fight to the end, and finish the game. So beautifully, Bhagavan is there to teach us. And further, so how can we consider ourselves weak when Lord himself resides within us? Deho devalaya proktu jivo deva sanatanaha. Each and every of us, we are the moving temple of God. So we have to respect each and every one. In Swami's own words, parudu parudu gadaya paramatmude adadu. Whom you consider other is no any other. He is verily God himself. Therefore, we should respect everyone. The Lord is permeated in everything. Antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya narayana sthidaha, says the Vedas. The Lord is present in each and everything. Yatcha kinjit jagat sarvam drishyate sruyate piva. Whatever I see in this world, whatever I hear in this world is nothing but the God and God alone. Bhagavan says, the birthless God decided, ekoham bahusyam, I am one, let me become many. In Swami's own words, I separated myself from myself so that I can love myself. And having separated himself, ajayamano bahudha vijayate, the birthless one manifested himself into many. And Bhagavan, so he expects us to respect each and every one. That is the message of the Vedas. Respect each and every one. As long as life is there in this body, serve everyone. Paropakarartham idam shariram. This body has been given to us to do service to humanity. Sarva deva namaskaram keshavam pradigachadi. It has been said, whomsoever you worship or respect, all those obeisance goes to God alone. But Bhagavan also adds that, sarva jiva tiraskaram keshavam pradigachadi. To whomsoever you discard, that too goes to God. At the end, the Vedas pray, sarve vai sukhinas sandu, sarve sandu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyandu, ma kaschid dukkham apnuyad. Sarve vai sukhinas sandu, let everybody be happy. Sarve sandu niramaya, let everyone be free from disease. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu, let everyone see only auspiciousness. Ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhaved, let no one suffer. That is why Bhagavan has asked us, after each and every prayer session, we should pray that samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu, samasta lokah sukhino bhavantu. Let the entire universe, let all the being in the universe be happy. Bhagavan, The little sapling which you started as the Veda Bhoshana, it has grown into a huge tree, expanding its branches all over the world. In today's trouble and tribulations, this is the only succor and shade for the entire humanity. Thank you, Bhagavan, for what you have given to us. Thank you so much. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, sir. Your words were indeed filled with Swami's love and concern for Veda Poshana and Vidvat Poshana. Now it's my privilege to introduce Shri S.S. Naganand, who is an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba since the 1960s. Swami guided him throughout his educational career. He is LLB gold medalist from Renukacharya College of Law, Bangalore University. He is a qualified chartered accountant with a national gold medal. With more than 25 years of legal experience, he is a senior advocate in the high courts of Karnataka and other states, as well as the Supreme Court of India. His family is also dedicated to Swami. His father was a member of the Sri Satya Sai Trust in Karnataka, and his better half is a member of the Ishwaramma Trust. Above all, Sri S.S. Naganand is the member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and the member of the University Trust of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri S.S. Naganand.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Being the last speaker is always the most difficult thing to be. Every single thought of mine has already been enveloped in the scintillating discourse that you just now heard from Sri Vedanarayan. The Satya Sai organizations of India must be commended for the great effort that it has put to place before Bhagwan a two-day event which I must say is path-breaking, unique, excellent, and an eye-opener for the whole world. Why I have chosen these four adjectives carefully is that the subject of the two-day conference is something which is just 5,000 years old. How often do we have a program like this where we are contemplating on what our ancestors did 5,000 years ago or more, and how that has percolated to today's modern life? The relevance of Vedas has to be examined from several standpoints. Before I come to the question as to how Bhagwan played such an important role in bringing the learning of Vedas to the present situation, and I am sure Bhagwan is going to continue to propel us in the direction of bringing home to the whole world, to the whole universe, the importance of Vedas and the great beneficial effects of this on humanity. I think this is what we need to all look at today. The first Sri Satya Sai International Veda Conference has been coupled, interestingly, with a multi-faith symposium. And those of us who was fortunate to be here last evening and having participated in the multi-faith symposium and who heard this morning Professor Shastri from the National Sanskrit University, would realize that there is only Ekam Sat. As Bhagavan always used to say, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. Just to give you a glimpse of the four Vedas, I will chant a few lines and probably you will try to recognize which Veda this is from. Om Agnimele Purohitam Yajnasya Deva Mrutyujam Hotaram Ratnadhatamam Isheto Urjeto Vayavasto Vayavasta Devo Vasavita Praprayatu Devatamah Agni aya hivitaye grudano havyatataye nihota satsi barhishi shanno devira bhishtaya apo bhavantu pitaye shayora bhishravantu naha. These friends are the first slokas of each of the four Vedas that we now have. In the morning you heard that of the large number of Vedas that were there in vogue, we have today four major sects. And in the four major Vedas, the Rigveda is the oldest, the Yajurveda, the Samaveda, and the Atharva Veda. And in the Atharva Veda, we now learn that there is only one particular branch of it that is available. And this morning, when we heard the erudite keynote address of Mr. Gopalakrishnan, Dr. Gopalakrishnan, we realized that the extent and the vastness of the knowledge of this ocean that has been given as our heritage, this is a national heritage, this is an international heritage. And if this is to be appreciated and understood, we have a long way to go. Now we need to understand that the Vedas are couched in a language which is like an aphorism. See, Swami, in his various teachings, always taught us, not very directly most of the time, but during his discourses he was very direct, but when we had personal interactions and he used to guide us in our spiritual lives personally, it was in a very cryptic way, in a way in which it would make you start wondering, what did Bhagavan say in the interview? Why did he say this? And what is the effect of saying this? Now we can never fathom the entire breadth of Swami's guidance till we reflect upon it. And I am proposing to give you a small example of how Swami played his role as a Veda Poshaka and Samrakshaka. Some years ago, my wife was very keen to write a composition which contains in Sanskrit, Devanagari script, all the Shodasha Upachara Puja Vidhi that is followed in the most important religious centers of India, including the very traditional mutts like Sringeri Mutt and others. So compilation was attempted, and by divine grace, in our family, we have the Nitya Puja Vidhi. So it is everyday worship and everyday Shodashopchara worship to our Ishtadevata, which is Chanakeshava Swami, which is a form of Mahavishnu. Now she collected this information, but I must say that she is not a scholar in Sanskrit, nor has she read the Vedas, but nevertheless, every time when we had an interview, Swami would ask her, what are you reading? And she always used to have a book. And the book was either Shirdi Satcharit or she was writing all the Sahasranamams in her book. So every time that we went, had an occasion, Swami encouraged her and said, ha, yes, you must write. And so with that strength and with the backing of Bhagavan's blessing, she continued writing. And finally it came to a point when the book was ready, and again she was with trepidation, placed it before Bhagavan and said, Swami, I would like this book to be made public to everybody. Again, he encouraged her and said, you can do it. And the book was actually published, and Bhagwan was very kind to release the book on the Ladies' Day in the year 2008. It is called Veda Kusumanjalihi. Now there is a famous Subhashita which says, Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat krupa tamaham vande paramananda madhavam. Simply translated, it means that a dumb person will become a great speech maker. A lame person will climb a mountain easily. All that is possible with your divine grace and blessing. Now, when this book was released, just after that, the Atirudra Mahayagna took place here. And on the second day, Bhagwan called us and said, you take this book, go to the place where all the Ritviks are staying and make this book available to each one of them. That is the day on which we had our third, that is the Upanayanam function that day. And therefore, Swami said, you go and give it to all of them. Now, I find that that book has become very popular and it is used in many places. It has all these scriptures, all the puja vidhis and all the sahasranamas, etc. Now, when it comes to propagating Vedas, I remember many years ago, I always used to wonder that whenever we went for darshan, as soon as Swami was about to leave his abode and come for darshan, there used to be a music that was played. There was no chanting of Vedas at that time. It was only a kind of a background music, which was not even the music of some of the bhajans, but it was just a mellifluous music that was being played. And of course, the Swami's very presence turned that music into devotion, and everybody followed what exactly was happening in the darshan. Some years later, Bhagwan blessed and introduced the chanting of Vedas. Now, the chanting of Vedas by the boys and the girls together was something very unique. And as Sri Vedanarayan just now pointed out, you see, in the traditional Brahminical tradition that we had in this country, women were not given the Gayatri Upadesha. It is only a boy who had been blessed with the Upanayana Samskara who could actually be taught the Gayatri Mantra. And it was also a system where the Upadesha used to come from the Guru, and the first Guru for any boy is his father. Because in Sanskrit, the word Guru not only means the teacher, but it also refers to the father. So the father had to actually keep the boy seated on his lap and give this Upadesha secretly in his ear. This was the traditional thing. And the learning of the Vedas was only possible after he started doing the Gayatri Upadesha, Mantra, Japa. Now, the three Vargas, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, all had the Upanayana Samskara, and it is only the Shudra which did not have the Upanayana Samskara. But strangely, you will find in the Indian mythology that all the great sages and saints were neither Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, and they were all Shudras, including Bhagavan Krishna. He was not from any of the first three Varnas. He was from the last Varnas. So the dichotomy was always there. God did not have a caste, but the society brought in some castes and placed some restrictions. Now for Swami, when he said, we are all one, and Vasudeva Kutumbakam, for him, it made no difference who you were, what caste you belonged, or what was your origin. For him, you were just a human being, you were a spark of the divine, and Swami saw in you the same divine being and the divine spirit which Swami has created in this whole universe and in all of us. Therefore, naturally, when Swami started the Veda Samrakshana and the Poshana function, he kept this in mind and said that all my children, irrespective of your caste or color or creed or birth or religion, you are free to go ahead and learn the Vedas. I think that is the first major step forward in any modern society in India. And I think we owe a deep debt of gratitude to Bhagwan for this purpose. Mahajanaha yena gataha sapantha is an expression that we hear in the Mahabharata, where a question was asked, which route should I take? And the answer given by Dharmaraja is, take that route where the great people have walked by. That is the path you must take. So Swami, as the greatest, has taught us that path, and that path is today taken by many, many, many religious leaders and heads of religious institutions who still owe allegiance to the very conservative way in which those institutions function. Because recently I had occasion to be associated with a very important program where the Saundarya Lahari Stotra composed by Adi Shankaracharya was taught to over 1.5 lakh children and adults all over India and all over Karnataka, and on 2 days over 75,000 people gathered in one venue and chanted Saundarya Lahari Stotra in unison with our Prime Minister leading it. Now this was organized by an institution which was a traditional religious institution, but they followed Swami's dictum that for learning Vedas, for learning the scriptures, there is no respect or regard to be had to your caste or origin. And the group comprised of people from every walk of life, both men and women. And therefore I say that what Sri Vedanarayan just now pointed out is a very, very significant development in the Veda Samrakshana. As Swami directed, women have a right to learn the Vedas, and women can be taught Vedas, and women can chant the Vedas. I would like to now go back to a situation where the same, somewhat similar situation prevailed. Many years ago, over I think about 40 years ago, I visited Shirdi once, and very close to Shirdi, there is a small ashram which is mainly for women. And when I went to visit that place, Shirdi Baba's huge picture is there, and there women were taught Veda, and the women were taught how to do yajna. They had built a big yajnashala. So if I look back at it now, I realize that it is not only now, but even during the Shirdi avatar, that Swami had already started the process of, removing the discrimination and making Vedas a part of life for both men as well as women. Now, a very important development after it started chanting Veda in the Sai Kulwant Hall is that there were, what should the Sai organization do about the Vedas? And therefore, Swami then gave direct instructions to say that the learning of the Vedas should be very much a part and parcel of your role as a devotee, as a member of the Samiti, and the teaching of Veda should be institutionalized, and everybody can be taught and must learn and must become a part of their actual ritualistic worship that is done during the Samitis and during all the activities of the organization. Now please see, with this one instruction of Bhagwan, the teaching of Vedas today has crossed all boundaries, all frontiers, and we are now in a situation where in the entire world, all Swami devotees are learning Veda, practicing Veda, chanting the Vedas. The beneficial effect of this is something which you have all heard of in the last 2 days. The very interesting and the erudite talks that we heard during the technical sessions in the Veda conference will show to you the great significance of this. I must add a word of caution. Now what we mean by learning Veda is not just learning the Sri Sukta, the Purusha Sukta, the Durga Sukta, and the Narayan Upanishad, and these Suktas and Upanishads which are used day to day. But you must know that the total number of Vedic scholars who have learnt Vedas in the traditional way, there are hundreds and thousands of them in this country. They undergo a training of 14 years. And in the 14 years, they learn only the Vedas. And the whole thing is taught to them by memory, and I know that there are many, many Vedic scholars who can actually sit down and recite the entire Rig Veda and the Yajur Veda and Samaveda completely without reference to even a book. In fact, in the morning session, there was one comment made that if you read the Vedas with reference to a book, then that is not so effective. So in other words, it means that your effort must be so much that you should be able to close your book, close your eyes and start reciting. So that is the level of perfection that you should reach in so far as what you have actually learned. But you must also remember that the learning of the Vedas is in three stages. One is you read and learn the Vedas as we now chant it. Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya, Namaste Rudra Manyava Utao Taishave Namaha. This is how it starts and it goes on. This is the normal way of chanting it. The next step is called the Krama. Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya, Namaste Rudra Manyava, Manyava Utave. So every single word, you are actually breaking it up, explaining it, and it is a fantastic exercise, a mental exercise of learning in breaking up portions. And the last and the most important, this is second one is called the Krama, and the third one is called the Gana. I'm sure you've heard Sri Vedanarayan and other boys chanting the Ganapati Mantra in Gana as also in Krama. But these are the two and the second stage. It is like you are now in first standard. You have to go to second standard, then go to third standard. And when the time you finish your third standard, you are ready to go to middle school because you are still then in primary school. So I think it is important for us to realize that the depth of the ocean of Vedas is so, vast, so challenging that one lifetime is not sufficient to learn. I'm fortunate to be in the company of several of these scholars in many places. I know a family where for 14 generations, the gentleman I know is the 15th generation. For 14 generations, they've been Rigveda Ganapatis. That means they know the exact 14th generation from them. They started learning the Rigveda, and from there till now in an unbroken lineage, all of them have learnt it. And the youngest man whom I know, his son is also studying. He is in the 15th generation. So the learning of the Vedas is something which is a lifelong attempt. It's a lifelong ambition. It's a lifelong effort. What are the benefits of this? We have already seen it. Yesterday we experienced it. Today we are going to again experiencing it. The sitting down and the chanting of these mantras. Now those of us who practice the chanting of Rudra will realize that you don't need much effort, because the way it is composed, the composers have even taken note of the place where you have to take in a breath. You do not have to stop. You can keep on chanting, and when there's the hrasva comes, you are able to take in a breath and continue in the same way. It is a fantastic experience that we chant in that manner, and it is an experience that we actually feel, the body feels regenerated. Now if you look at some of the important kshetras where this takes place, if you just go into that place, like in the morning yesterday they were mentioning that the minute they came in the presence of Swami here, they find a different kind of vibration here, a different kind of peace is here. Our minds just dissolve all the issues and problems that we have, and we are able to sit here and take in the divine darshan and commune with the divine spirit here. The object of the Vedic learning is exactly that, and the effect of practice of Veda as a very effective means of self-purification, of our bonding of our spirit with the universal spirit, that is something which Vedas do for us. And therefore, I think it is in the fitness of things that we have had this two-day program. We had many suggestions in the course of the two-day program, and Brother Nimesh and a few of us talked about it. And with Bhagavan's guidance, blessing and divine grace, we are likely to go forward with this program and try to take it internationally, so that all communities all over the world, whether they are Hindus or they are not, it doesn't matter, they will be exposed to what is the significance of the Vedas and what is the importance of multi-faith prayers, that we ought to do. And this, I think, is the very, very important fallout of this two-day conference. We thank Bhagwan for this great opportunity that he has given us and for blessing all of us who attended this event. I'll conclude by reading out a small message. The Honorable Prime Minister of India, Sri Narendra Modi, had been invited to come for this function. He had initially agreed to be here, but due to certain pressing requirements, he could not come. He has been kind enough to personally contact and see that a message is sent to this program, and I now take the pleasure in reading the message. From the Prime Minister of India, it is a pleasure to know that an international Veda conference is being organized by the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust on 21st November 2017. I hope that the conference will present a productive platform for scholars from across the world to present their rich insights on the perspectives offered by the Vedas. Best wishes for the success of the conference. Signed, Narendra Modi, New Delhi, 20th November 2016. I conclude with a fervent prayer to Swami. Swami, please guide us. Please help us to go on the right path, to hold our hand and to make the importance of the Vedas an integral part of our day-to-day life and worship. This is very important for our own upliftment, and this cannot happen without your grace. And for that reason, we humbly pray that you bless us and to guide us and to permit us to take the path that you have chosen, the path that you have shown to us. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you very much, sir, for your thoughts and insights on the subject of Veda. I'm sure that the guiding points that you have given on the recital of the Vedas are noted by all our delegates here in this conference. Moving forward, brothers and sisters, we now come to that moment where we forcibly need to close the proceedings of the first Sri Satya Sai International Veda Conference and Multi-Faith Prayers, though our dil mange more, our hearts pang for more. Swami, it is with your infinite grace, your blessings, your love, your directions that this Sri Satya Sai International Vedic Conference and Multi-Faith Prayers has happened. In every moment of these 2 days, we have felt and seen your divine presence as you are the verily the Veda Purusha. With your permission, Swami, I now call upon our All India President, Sri Nimish Pandya, to give his concluding address. Sri Nimish Pandya, at Thy Lotus Feet.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering our most humble salutations at the divine lotus feet of Bhagwan. The thought that comes to my mind while bringing to close this first International Veda Conference and the Multi-Faith Symposium. The first take-home message, or the first take-home learning that comes to our minds, and I'm sure all of you will agree with me, is that one truth that comes out of this conference is that the strength of the entire Satya Sai organization, the power of the entire Satya Sai organization, is the omnipresence of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, under whose guidance we function throughout the length and breadth. The evidence of this is, and for all those cynics who believed that Baba has left the physical form and that Baba is no more in Prashant and Nilayam. The proof is, just like the times when Bhagwan was here in the physical form, when thousands used to sit here for hours and hours without moving for a moment, let the world know that the same situation exists, that all are sitting for hours and hours in the divine presence of Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba. If there is any doubt, let it be dispelled today that Bhagwan sits here and we all are here at his divine lotus feet. The second message that goes through brothers and sisters is Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. Let it be known from today onwards that the Sat Sai organization all over the world is now no more limited to the so-called Sai devotees. The Sat Sai organization throughout the world belongs to every human being in every country throughout the globe, and that is the reality of the day today. Today it dawns upon us that the Sat Sai organization is an inclusive organization. This is not an exclusive club, but it is a universal get-together of a huge family which Bhagwan has envisaged, and there we are from today onwards. That is the goal and that is the vision. As a part of the decision-making process, as Brother Naganand mentioned, the Sat Sai organization, the Sat Sai Central Trust, and when I say the organization, I mean the entire organization all over the world, have learnt our lesson from the two-day proceedings and the unfurling of the divine will of Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba in Prashanti Nilayam. The two strong messages of Bhagwan, the message of Vedas and the message of multi-faith, are going to be the focal points for all the years to now come, because that's what binds the whole communities together. And I think the Sai organization and the Satya Sai Central Trust is now getting together a very definite plan of action by virtue of which we shall approach every mankind. All the speakers at this podium here have reiterated that this is the need of the hour and this should be done, and Prashanti Nilayam should take the lead for the entire world to carry this message, is even the call of all the speakers who spoke from this podium. And I think we take that message very strongly as an indication of the new realm that Bhagwan wants us to live in and live in. As an organization, we sincerely wish today to ensure, and I think all of us sitting here today should take this sankalp, that all those who have learned throughout the next year, let us all take the vow that each one of us will teach each one person the Vedic knowledge and let him learn to recite, where we all become tutors, and only the responsibility is not only on Brother Vednarayan to teach Vedas, but each one of us becomes a Vednarayan for the entire world. And I think that's where the sankalp we should take from today. To carry the message further in India, definitely I have the support of all my state presidents and trust conveners who have always been the strength and the foundation for the Sai organization. These two-day symposiums are now going to be carried throughout all the states of India in the next year, and by the end of time when we come to the next birthday, surely in every nook and corner of India we would have conducted such symposia and such Vedic conferences in every state of India is the decision that we take today. Not only that, but as a foundation of these two principles, we have also resolved in India that in every district of India, in the next 1 year, we shall embark upon one multi-faith service project where the youth from all the faiths will come together under the banner of the Sai organization and start the service projects so that we can penetrate and build the respect and the confidence of all the faiths on the platform of service that we have taken up this time. Yes, in India we have the tutorials. If you go on the website www.sssoindia.org, you'll find the tutorials where regular Vedic chanting is being taught to people. So all those people who want to learn, please click on to the website and you'll have the tutorials where you can learn exactly the way it should be learned. And I think these tutorials have been going on for a year. As a result of that year-long exercise, we find this mass congregation of the chanting of the Vedas. And yes, we are going to end today's day also with a repeat of the chanting as we did at the beginning. We began with the chanting, we will end with the chanting today before we close this function. The most other interesting parts are that we had a lovely exhibition which was going on. I don't know how many of you saw it, but if you haven't, please see it. There are still one or two days that it'll be on. We are going to share this entire exhibition in the e-format to all the states in India, and I'm sure I'm going to share it with Brother Dr. Reddy also for whatever useful purpose that he can do in the other parts of the world also. Apart from the exhibition, the other part is that is the first step towards the Vasudeva Kutumbakam and ensuring that Bhagavan's message reaches every home. This year in India, 2 days from now, we have resolved that every Sai devotee in the nook and corner of India, from the north to the south to the east to west, is going to celebrate Bhagwan Baba's birthday in the house of every devotee in the country in the nook and corner. We have changed our strategy from celebrating Bhagwan's birthday at big time events. While we continue to do that, the core is that every devotee will celebrate Bhagwan's birthday in his or her home. The homes will be lit up like Diwali or Christmas. Lights will be put on. There'll be festivities. There'll be friends and families that will be invited, who will have their meals together. They will sing family bhajans. They will do a family seva together and do a charitable act for the family. This way, we want to bring and ensure that Bhagwan, who's already in the homes of all devotees, manifests himself in the grandeur and the glory, and every home becomes a Sai home. Brothers and sisters, we want to continue this. And I do wish and pray that every devotee anywhere in the world must celebrate Bhagwan's birthday in his own home. Call his friends, call the families, put together, strengthen the bond of family so that Bhagwan's celebration gloriously happens and stars are twinkling all over the globe in every home where Bhagwan is celebrating his birthday. If Christmas lights up half the world, if Diwali lights up the other half, Bhagwan's birthday will light up the entire globe, and that's the dream and the vision that we want to have from this birthday onwards. And I do wish that while all of you enjoy Bhagwan's birthday here, please call up your homes, and whoever is at home, please tell them, light up your homes, see that everything is done. A lot of ragi is cooked in the home, remembering Bhagwan. A lot of ragi laddus are spreading around, which Bhagwan loved very much. And call family and friends, let them know who Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba is. With these few words, I will miss my duty if I miss my hundreds and hundreds of Sevadal volunteers who are here, who have helped us to conclude this beautiful function. I want to thank each and every member of the Sevadal, brothers and sisters, who have sacrificed days and days in the service of creating this great event. Brothers and sisters, I want to repeat again that when Bhagwan took the avatar and came down on this earth, he brought with him all the saints possible, all his devotees all over in the heavens down, and they were called the Sri Satya Sai Seva Dal, and they are the saints of modern India and the modern world. We together salute and pray to Bhagwan that their homes are blessed, they are blessed, their families are blessed, because in the real sense, they are the inspiration of the Satya Sai mission. I also take this opportunity to thank the entire organizing team, all those young men and women who've really done a great job, and I must thank all my trust conveners and the state presidents of India who have been a great support in carrying on the mission of Swami in India. I also thank Dr. Narendranath Reddy. I think the day is not far when we all become a borderless organization, when the globe comes together. There is no one country or other country, there is no one state or other state, but we are just one Vasudeva Kutumbakam, all coming together as a great organization. I am sure Swami blesses us. With these few words, we shall end now with a lovely, lovely song which summarizes the spirit of the 2 days. It's a song that we heard in Orissa many years ago, sung so beautifully by the devotees of Orissa, and I now invoke the blessings of Bhagwan with that song, and thereafter we shall have the mass chanting, and thereafter the love of the Lord, the Balvikas children of Tamil Nadu. Children are always Bhagwan's weakness. and especially Balvika's children, draws Bhagwan away from anything which is important. And Bhagwan, please be seated with your lovely eyes watching the children as they come and perform before you. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you very much. And we meet once again at Prashandalyam someday, sometime. Jai Sai Ram.
Mantra samana ho, sath chale hum, sath నమస్తే అస్తు ధన్వనే బాహుభ్యాముతటే నమః. Namo Namah Sri Kavibhyo Jikavum सेनापतिभ्यश्च वो नमो नमः सेनाभ्यस्तेनानिभ्यश्च वो नमो नमः शत्रुभ्यः सङ्ग्रहीतभ्यश्च वो नमो नमः सक्षभ्यो रथकारेभ्यश्च वो नमो नमः कुलालेभ्यः कर्माणि
शिवाय च शिवतराय ಶಮತದ್ವಿಪದೆ ಚತುಷ್ಪದೆ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಪುಷ್ಟಂ ಗ್ರಾಮೆ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ನನಾತುರಂ ಮೃಡಾನೋ ರುದ್ರೋತನೋ ಮಯಸ್ಕೃತಿ ಕ್ಷಯದ್ವೀರಾಯ ನಮಸಾ ವಿಧೇಮತೆ ಯಚ್ಛಂ ಚ ಯೋಶ್ಚಮನುರಾಯತೆ ಪಿತಾ ತತಶ್ಯಾಮ ತವ ರುದ್ರ ಪ್ರಣೀತೌ ಮಾನೋ ಮಹಾಂತ ಮುತಮಾನೋ ಅರ್ಭಕಂ ಮಾನ ಉಕ್ಷಂತ ಮುತಮಾನ ಉಕ್ಷಿತಂ ಮಾನೋವದೀ ಪಿತರಂ ಮೋತ ಮಾತರಂ ಪ್ರಿಯಮಾನಸ್ತನುವೋ ರುದ್ರವೀರಿಷಃ ಮಾನಸ್ತೋಕೇತನಯೇ ಮಾನ ಆಯುಷಿ ಮಾನೋ ಘೋಷು ಮಾನೋ ಅಶ್ವೇಶುರೀರಿಷಃ ವೀರಾನ್ಮಾನೋ ರುದ್ರಭಾಮಿತೋ ಮಧಿ ಹವಿಷ್ಮಂತೋ ನಮಸಾ ವಿಧೇಮತೆ ಆರಾಕ್ಷೆ ಗೋಗ್ನೌತ ಪುರುಷಜ್ಞೇ ಕ್ಷಯದ್ವೀರಾಯ ಸುನ್ನಮಸ್ಮೇತೆ ಅಸ್ತು ರಕ್ಷಾಚನೋ ಅಧಿಚ ದೇವ ಬ್ರೂಹ್ಯದಾಚನ ಶರ್ಮ ಯಚ್ಚದ್ವಿಬರ್ಹಾ ಸುಹಿಷ್ಯುತಂ ವರ್ತ ಸದಂ ಯುವಾನಂ ಮೃಗನ್ನ ಭೀಮಮುಪಹತ್ನ ಮುಗ್ರಂ ಮೃಡಾಚರಿತ್ರೇ ರುದ್ರಸ್ತವಾನೋ ಅನ್ಯಂತೇ ಅಸ್ಮನ್ನಿವ ಪಂತು ಸೇನಾ ಪರಿಣೋ ರುದ್ರಸ್ಯ ಹೇದೇವೃಣಕ್ತು ಪರಿತ್ವೇಷಸ್ಯ ದುರ್ಮತಿರಗಾಯೋ ಅವಸ್ಥಿರ ಮಘವದ್ಯಸ್ತನುಷ್ವಮೇಭಸ್ತೋಕಾಯತನಯಾಯ ಮೃಡಯ ಮೇಧುಷ್ಟಮ ಶಿವತಮ ಶಿವೋ ನ ಸುಮನಾಭವ ಪರಮೇ ವೃಕ್ಷ ಆಯುಧನ್ನಿಧಾಯ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ವಸಾನ ಆಚರ ಪಿನಾಕಂ ಬಿಭ್ರದಾಗಹಿ ವಿಕಿರಿದ ವಿಲೋಹಿತ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಅಸ್ತು ಭಗವಃ ಯಾಸ್ತೇ ಸಹಸ್ರಗುಂಧೇತಯೋನ್ಯಮಸ್ಮನ್ನಿವ ಪಂತು ಸಹಸ್ರಾಣಿ ಸಹಸ್ರಥಾ ಬಾಹುವೋಸ್ತವ ಹೇತಯಃ ತಾಸಾಮೀಶಾನೋ ಭಗವಃ ಪರಾಜೇನಾ ಮುಖಾಕೃತಿ ಸಹಸ್ರಾಣಿ ಸಹಸ್ರಶೋ ಯೇ ರುದ್ರಾದಿ ಭೂಮ್ಯಾ ಏಷಾಂ ಸಹಸ್ರಯೋಜನೆ ವಸಂತಾನಿ ತನ್ಮಸೇ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಮಹತ್ಯರ್ಣವೇಂತರಿಕ್ಷೇ ಭವಾಮಧಿ ನೀಲಗ್ರೀವಾಶ್ರೀಕಂಠಾ ಶರ್ವಾಧಃ ಶಮಾಚರಾಃ ನೀಲಗ್ರೀವಾಶ್ರೀಕಂಠಾದಿವಕುಂ ರುದ್ರಾ ಉಪಶ್ರಿತಾಃ ಯೇ ವೃಕ್ಷೇಷು ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಜರಾ ನೀಲಗ್ರೀವಾ ವಿಲೋಹಿತಾಃ ಯೇ ಭೂತಾನಾಮಧಿಪತಯೋ ಋಷಿಕಾಸಕ್ಕಪರ್ಜಿನಃ ಯೇ ಅನ್ಯೇಷು ವಿವಿಧ್ಯಂತಿ ಪಾತ್ರೇಷು ಪಿಬತೋ ಜನಾನ್ ಯೇ ಪಥಾಂಪತಿರಕ್ಷಯ ಐಲಭೃದಾಯ ವ್ಯುಧಃ ಯೇ ತೀರ್ಥಾನಿ ಪ್ರಚರಂತಿ ಶೃಗಾವಂತೋ ನಿಷಂಗಿಣಃ ಯೇತಾವಂತಶ್ಚ ಭೂಯಾಗುಂಸಶ್ಚ ದಿಶೋ ರುದ್ರಾವಿತಸ್ಥಿರೇ ತೇಷಾಗುಂ ಸಹಸ್ರಯೋಜನೆ ಮಧನ್ವಾನಿ ತನ್ಮಧೀ ನಮೋ ರುದ್ರೇಭ್ಯೋ ಯೇ ಪೃಥಿವ್ಯಾ ಯೇಂತರಿಕ್ಷೇ ದಿವ್ಯೇಷಾಮಲ್ಲಂ ವಾತೋ ವರ್ಷಮಿಷವಸ್ತೇಭ್ಯೋ ದಶ ಪ್ರಾಚೀ ದಶ ದಕ್ಷಿಣ ಪ್ರತಿಶೋಧೇಶೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ನೋ ಮೃಡಯಂತು ತೇ ಗ್ರೀಷ್ಮ
yascha no dveshitam bhojam vedadhami Trayambakam yajamahe sugandhim pushtivardhanam Urvarukami babandhanan mrityor mukshi yamamrutat Yo rudro agnau yo apsuya oshadheshu Yo rudro vishwa bhuvana vivesha tasmai rudraya namo astu Yete sahasramayutam pasha mrityo martyaya hantave Tanyajnyasya mayaya sarvanavaya jamahe Mrityave swaha, mrityave swaha Prananam granthirasi rudro mavishantakaha Namo Rudraya Vishnave Mrityurme Pahe Tamushtu Hiyas Vishustu Dalvayo Vishvat Yakshayati Vesha Jasya Yashwa Mahe Sau Hanasaya Rudram Namo Bhir Devam Asuram Duvasya Ayam Me Hasto Bhagavan Ayam Me Bhagavattaraha Ayam me Vishwabhe Chadoyagum Shiva Bhimarshanaha Om Shanti 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 Om Shanchame Mayaschame Priyamchame Nukamaschame Chame Namayachame Jivatushame Dirghayutvam Chame Namitram Chame Bhayam Chame Sugam Chame Shayanam Chame Susha Chame Sudinam Chame Thank you.
Shine. Sai Ram. Humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. On the auspicious eve of the glorious birthday celebration of our dear Swami and the first International Veda Conference and Multi-Faith Symposium, we, the devotees of Tamil Nadu, are delighted to offer a drama titled Rudra Tattvam Ekatvam. Bhagwan has clearly mentioned that one of the objectives of his advent is Veda Poshana, fostering the Vedas. Among the various Veda mantras chanted in the Lord's presence, Sri Rudram holds a special place in his heart. Sri Rudram eulogizes Rudra as encompassing the whole range of attributes from Shantam to Rudram, Saundaryam to Bhayanakam, covering the entire gamut of creation from Bijam to Vriksham. In fact, God permeates everything. He is in all. He is all there is. This inherent unity, or Ekatvam, is verily the essence of Sri Rudram and is the crux of today's presentation. The drama portrays the wonderful aspects of Rudra through anecdotes from the Puranas and highlights the fact that oneness expresses itself as love, divine love that knows no bounds. The Balli caste children, the Sai youth, and the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Educare from Tamil Nadu consider it a great blessing to offer this program at the divine lotus feet of our beloved mother, Sai.
Shambho Mahadeva Sharan. How wonderful it used to be to watch the Mahimas and the pastimes of the Lord with His devotees here in this very hall every day. And how much more wonderful it would be to recollect and relive those eternal moments. It has been a while since I sat writing, recording the stories of the Lord. I think I will do it now and offer it to the Lord as my humble gift for His birthday. Where do I begin? Yes. I will write on the Rudram something that is close to His heart. How beautifully the Lord in the Sai Avatar encouraged everyone to chant the Rudram. There are too many wonderful things to cover. But let me start writing and things should fall in place. After all, I am the Vignaharana. Father, I pray to you to accept this humble offering. Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya. The first thing that comes to my mind is the grand Atirudra Mahayajna that he initiated here at Parthi. Hundreds of pandits and thousands of devotees worked with unsullied devotion under the direct guidance of Shiva himself to complete the yajna. That was a trendsetter which the rest of the world followed later. I do recollect one such yajna that was conducted in the Devaloka some time ago, and how on the day of conclusion of the yajna, Devendra, Narada and Yama were trying to comprehend the unfathomable depths of the Rudra aspect of my father.
Revered sages, honorable celestial beings, I warmly welcome all of you to this Maharudra Yajna, our prayer for the well-being of the entire universe. How fortunate are we to chant the name of Lord Shiva, the Lord of our lives, the Lord of the world, and the Lord of everyone. My heart is filled with joy incomparable. And we are indeed blessed to have a satsang after the holy Rudra Yajna to contemplate on Lord Shiva and celebrate His glory.
Yes, indeed. Nothing gives greater bliss than discussing about the Lord and His attributes. He is a mystic shrouded in mystery, adorning the repulsive snake and yet attracting all towards Him.
His throat burns with the poison of halahala. Yet His countenance is cool and calm, completely unaffected by the poison. Agnideva, He holds not just the halahala, but the celestial Ganga too in His matted locks. He absorbs the poison and gives nectar of immortality to one and all.
Interesting point, Varnadeva. While He is the savior on one hand, He is the destroyer too, annihilating countless demons like Tripurasura. He can be the gentle breeze providing sustenance or the mighty storm destroying everything.
Very true, Vayudeva. He is an enigma. The entire universe is His, yet He stays in the graveyard. The sound of His damaru signals the origin of the universe and also the dissolution of the creation.
Yes, indeed. Unending is His grandeur and infinite is His grace. He Triloka Sanchari, Brahma Manasaputra Narada, can you also share your insights?
Narayana, Narayana, Mahadeva is both the beginning and the end of everything. The nectarine leelas he performed will definitely illumine our minds and demystify the phenomenon that he is. We have just concluded the chanting of the holy Rudra mantra. I pray he guides us from within.
Devarishi, I have experienced not just his glory, but also his all-consuming anger. My ego was burnt to ashes in his supreme anger.
Yamadharma Raja, hold on. Before we listen to your experience, I think we should witness our Lord's Leela through the story of Brahmaputra Daksha Prajapati. He has directly experienced the supreme anger of our Lord.
The glory and grandeur of this yajna is matched only by the illustrious attendees. Devas, Gandharvas, Kinaras and Kimpurushas, everyone is in attendance, adhering to the invitation extended by me, the Brahmaputra Daksha Prajapati. Lakhs of cows, sovereigns of gold and silver, and the costliest of silks are being given in charity. And the best part, nobody is even missing the mountain dweller, the Smashanavasi, among this august audience. Ha!
Father, you're performing one sin after another, totally blinded by your arrogance.
I am not here to listen to the advice of uninvited guest. Ha! Go, take a place at the corner and silently take part in this glorious yajna.
Father, there is no glory in this yajna at all. Without the presence of Shiva, this is nothing but Shava. And I am not like everybody else. I am the consort of the Lord, the mighty Parameshwara. Your so-called glory is like a speck in the sand in comparison to His majesty.
Smeared in ashes, draped in tiger skin and wearing snakes, His image causes repulsions throughout my body. By marrying Him, you have brought disrepute to my clan and stained my name.
Enough, Father, enough. As long as this body exists, I will always be identified as a daughter of a sinner like you. I shall shed this body right here and right now. And mark my words, with me, the entire Yajnashala shall perish in the wrath of my Lord. O Lord Mahadeva, I pray that I be reborn in a pious family and become your consort again. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya.
Thank you.
My father, Namo Hantre Chahaniyase Cha. He torments those who disregard him out of arrogance and abuse him out of hatred. Ye Chemagum Rudra Abhito Dikshushrita Sahasrasho Vaishagum Heda Imahe. In fact, he only considers as dishonor when someone disregards the Vedas and acts against them. Namaste Rudra Manyava Utota Ishave Namaha. That is, the Manyu or the anger aspect of our Lord. What many fail to understand is the anger the Lord displays occasionally is only to correct the sinner and bring him on the right path. His anger has its roots only in love. I know him to be full of love and nothing else. He is also the most easily pleased Bhola Bhandari. How could one forget what happened with the hunter who was given salvation for dropping bilwa leaves without his knowledge on the Shivalinga all through the night just to keep awake? And how about the devotee Kannappa, who did not perform any specific rituals as per the Agamas and yet was blessed abundantly by the Lord for his pure intention?
सुख का त्योहार मिले डमरू के तार करे दुख पीड़ा पार जटादारी
Parameshwara, what blasphemy is this? I have worshipped you in the morning with incense sticks, flowers and the sacred Panchamrita. And now some wayfarer has polluted your holy shrine with wine and meat. O Lord, what sin have I committed to witness this trouble to you?
Swami, I don't know what food you like, what meat you prefer, and what drink you like to have. So, I have brought little of everything. Here, have it. Have it. Oh Lord, you know what? Wild animals prowl this region at night and will try to disturb you. But do not worry. I shall stand guard for you the entire night. Take rest, my Lord. Take rest. Why is your eye bleeding? Oh no! What am I to do? What am I to do? Wait. I can give my eye to you. There. Wonderful. The bleeding has stopped. What is this? The other eye is bleeding too. Who is hurting you, O Lord? Who is hurting you? But do not worry. I have one more eye to give you. But how do I place it correctly on your eye as I get blinded? Yes. I will put my toe as a marker for the eye and place it.
My child, with your innocent and incomparable love and devotion, you have won me over. I bless you. Dear Kannappa, you will be counted as one of my dearest devotees for eternity. Henceforth, you will be known by the name Kannappa Nayanar.
Oh Lord, I realize that you are Bhava Priya and not Bahya Priya. Appearances don't matter to you. Only intentions do. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya.
When the milky ocean was churned for obtaining Amrita, you took the terrible poison and kept it in your throat, thus hiding it from sight. O Chandrasekhara, you took the moon and placed it on your head to give happiness to all. Namo astu neelagreevaya sahasrakshaya meedhushe. You ignore the defects in us and hail our good qualities. You are indeed the one who is very easily pleased. I know it is too subtle a fact for people to appreciate that creation is incomplete without destruction. They misconstrue with their limited understanding that the Rudra aspect is to do only with anger and destruction. Indeed, as is aptly described in the Shri Rudram, You are in both the good and the bad. You are all-pervading, protecting everything all the time. Namakatyaya cha neepyaya cha. The one who's in small channel and in large streams. Namasodhyaya cha sarasyaya cha. To one who is in muddy place and in tank. Namo nadhyaya cha vaishantaya cha. To one who is in rivers and in small ponds. Namakopyaya cha vatyaya cha. The one who is in wells and in ditches. Namo varshaya cha varshaya cha. To one who is in rainwaters and in drought condition. He is indeed everything. He is all powerful and yet so benevolent that he will alter the laws he has laid for the sake of his devotees. In the Devaloka, the other day, as a culmination of their discussion, Indra, Narada and Yama reflected on this very truth.
The most demanding and unrelenting law of nature is Kala, that is time. Can he change that too?
Yes, Devendra. He is both the Kala and Kala Tita. In life, the only certain thing is death. But for the sake of his devotee, the Lord can even nullify this law. O Yama, I know you have been waiting to recollect what happened with Markandeya. Why don't you share it with all of us now?
Yes, Devarishi. The law decreed that the child Markandeya was doomed to fall into the clutches of death at the age of 16. But on the stipulated day, I could not even lay a finger on him.
Pranam Mata Shri, Pranam Pita Shri, today is my birthday. Bless me so that I can continue to serve you to my heart's content.
Ayushman Bhava, Markandeya. Ayushman Bhava.
Yashasvi Bhava Putra, Yashasvi Bhava. We are so fortunate and blessed that you are our son, Markandeya. May Lord Shiva shower his choicest blessings on you.
Why are my parents looking so sad? That too on my birthday? What is bothering them?
Devi, please control yourself. It was our own choice that has led us here. When Lord Shiva gave us a boon, did we not choose for an extraordinary son with 16 years of life? And now, we will have to reconcile with that decision.
Now I can understand the inner torment and agony my parents would have undergone all these years. I shall pin my hopes and take refuge in Lord Maheshwara.
Namida mega mandalini uttarudara puratku ni shitini tamak pravanjam.
merciful Lord, I surrender myself at your lotus feet. Protect me, Mrityunjaya. My breath is in your hands now.
So, is this the boy for today? Come on, let us get to our job now.
This young lad has become Yama to us. If we don't deliver this boy on time, our death will be certain. Let us report to our Lord immediately.
This is the child who dared to challenge me, the great Yamadharma. There is no place in this entire universe where death is not feared. O Markandeya, prepare yourself for the noose of death.
Yama.
How dare you throw your noose around my devotee? Offending my devotee, who has surrendered to me, is a greater sin than offending me.
Mahadeva, I was just doing my duty as assigned by you. What will the world say if I break the law?
Yama, let the entire universe blame me and consider that Parameshwara himself broke the laws of life for his devotee. And if you still persist, none can stop me from becoming Kala Kala, death to death himself.
Hey Parameshwara, Pahimam, Pahimam, forgive me, O Lord, please forgive me. I for a moment forgot that the only rule in the entire universe is your will.
Markandeya has won my grace with his pure devotion and complete surrender. Arise, O Markandeya, I am extremely pleased with your devotion to me. I grant you the boon to be a Chiranjeevi.
Hey Parameshwara, Bhakta Vatsala.
Yaksha Swarupaya Jatadharaya Pinaka Hastaya Sanatanaya Yaksha Swarupaya
was a sample of his boundless mercy and compassion. How many times has he done such miracles for so many of his devotees in this yuga and in this very hall? He has brought back people from the jaws of death. He has resurrected people who had passed away. Adhyavocha dadi vakta prathamo daivyo bhishak Ahigascha sarva anjambhayan sarva aschayatu dhanyaha. He is the supreme doctor who treats all diseases, including the Bhavaroga. He is the one who takes care of the welfare of all. Namashangaya cha pashupataye cha. In his advent as Sri Satya Sai, he gave life to thousands through water projects, revived the life of many through hospitals, and empowered thousands with knowledge through his institutions. And all these know no distinction of caste, language, gender, or religion. His love and omnipresence continues to inspire millions of people in carrying out his mission through this day. His grace is the weapon that cuts asunder the tree of samsara. Namo bhavasya hetyai jagatam pataye namaha. Every individual who comes to Prashanti Nilayam, his holy abode on earth, feels immeasurable joy from the embrace of God's love. This very love unites humanity at large under one roof and makes the journey back to the source beautiful and purposeful. The journey from I to we to He. This is the new path, the Prema Yoga that He gave to the world to experience Him. To experience the truth that He is all there is. The oneness, Ekatvam.
Yenedam bhutam bhuvanam bhavishyat parigrihitam amritena sarvam yena yajnastrajate saptahota tanme vana shiva sankalpamastu.
Oh my dear father and mother, how wonderful to see you all here.
Anna, have you forgotten? We now have a grand celebration going on here to mark the birthday of our parents as the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Look around. So many devotees have gathered with so much love and enthusiasm for this grand occasion.
Yes, I was lost in the glories of our dear Lord as I was trying to record some of them for posterity. For I had the good fortune to be the first-hand witness to the majesty and grandeur of His in this abode of supreme peace. Father, I have tried to capture the significance and beauty of Rudram that is so close to your heart. Here is my humble birthday gift.
Oh, what a brilliant idea indeed. This is the most apt gift that resonates with the august gathering here.
The devotees have assembled to express their love for Bhagwan by sincerely learning and chanting Vedam, which is very dear to our Lord.
Well said, Narada. In fact, it is part of every avatar's mission to foster the Vedas and re-establish Dharma.
My dear Ganesha, you have beautifully captured the essence of Rudram in this work. Yes, Rudra Tattvam is Ekatvam.
O Lord, every atom in the Sabha, the gathering, is resounding with your name. We realize your loftiest lesson, to see you in everything.
Namah Sabhavya Sabhavati Vyashchavo Namaha.
Swami, we can feel your presence in every brick, in every grain of sand, and in every heart. Just as the sound of Vedas fill Kailasha, the same echoes in this hall too. We feel the same ecstasy here. The devotees clad in white remind me of the snow-clad Kailasha. O Lord, this is Kailasha. And this is your residence.
Har Har Mahadev.
Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai.
Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tanna Sarva Prachodaya.
సేవ్యమాన పవనా పంకజ జ్ఞాలయజ్ఞ సూత్రమిందు శేఖరం కృపాకరం
దేవరాజ సేవ్యమాన పవనా పంకజ జ్ఞాలయజ్ఞ సూత్రమిందు శేఖరం కృపాకరం
represents truth, the truth that He alone exists. He is the prana we breathe. He is the life within us. This absolute truth, Satya, is represented by the Vayu Linga.
Kala
This represents Dharma, every action that we do with the thought that He alone exists becomes an adoration to the He in everybody. This is Dharma and is represented by the Agni Linga. Represents Shanti with the thought that He alone exists and all actions done as an offering to Him results in peace within us and without. This is represented by Apalingam.
Mukti Mukti Dayakam Prashasta Charu Vigraham Bhakta Vatsalam Kitam Samasta Loka Vigraham Virikpanam
represents Ahimsa. What follows Satya, Dharma and Shanti is Ahimsa, which is understanding and practicing the concept of Ekatvam. Ekatvam in thought, word and deed. This is represented by the Prithvi Lingam. Represents Prema. I separated myself from myself to love myself, says Swami. Love or Prema is the basis of creation and is also the sustenance through manifestation of love in thought as Satya, love in action as Dharma, love in understanding as Ahimsa, and love in feeling as Shanti. This is represented by the Akashalingam, that is the core that holds all the energy with it.
Shubh Dhamavi Bala Rama Rahim
जगदीश सखा हरि
माता पिता गुरु बंधु सखा हरि
माता पिता गुरु बंधु सखा हरि
माता पिता गुरु बंधु सखा हरि
नारायण हरि नारायण
Jay!